Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
News from the Nest here on this Monday. Steve Bisciotti, Eric DaCosta going to meet with the media tomorrow at One Winning Drive, 2 o'clock. We'll have all of that for you on Wednesday morning as we get the audio talking about various things relating to the team, like the decision to remove John Harbaugh as head coach. We think, don't believe they're going to hire a head coach over the next 48 to 72 hours. You never know because the interviews are still very much ongoing. Today, for instance, Jonah Schaefer tweeting this one out, Anthony Weaver, Cliff Kingsbury. We talked about Kingsbury Nolan with Howard Balzer last hour, but what about Anthony Weaver, drafted in the second round out of Notre Dame way back when, and as we were talking about earlier, you know, did not get the defensive coordinator job, even though that position became available twice while he was on the coaching staff.
And obviously, in hindsight, everyone would say, yeah, give me Anthony Weaver over Zach Orr, right? I mean, I think that goes without saying, just the experience, how that would have made a huge difference compared to a guy that's, you know, trying to learn on the fly, you know, that's never been a coordinator before. But beyond that, I don't know if there's really anything that really draws me to Anthony Weaver. And look, there's a lot that goes into a decision to hire a head coach, a lot more than what we would even see or speculate on the surface. But if we want to go just based off of track record and what his defensive units have done under his watch, it's really just 3 years to pick from. You have these past two seasons with Miami, and he was the defensive coordinator with the Texans for just 1 year in 2020. Now, this year with the Dolphins, that 2020 season with the Texans, end results, at least on the surface, points and yards allowed by those teams that year, it's not good. Again, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. His first year with Miami last year was actually pretty good results. So one out of three, it's not the longest track record to begin with. I think another thing for me too is, you know, do we want to just get a whole new perspective into this organization? And someone like Anthony Weaver is maybe still a little too tied and rooted to John Harbaugh in some ways, or at least the Ravens' defensive ideology that they've shown over their past couple years, at least.
Right.
He's still closely enough connected to that. And even Jesse Minter, to some extent, that you just kind of would rather say, well, let me get a whole new perspective. I don't want anyone who has any ties to the organization. You know, I want a whole fresh perspective, a whole fresh set of eyes on this. That's the only other thing I could really think of to argue against someone like Anthony Weaver.
Because we always go back to, we're a lot of fans, the play like a Raven mentality, hearkening back to the glory days when the Ravens would annually have one of the best defenses in the National Football League, and in a couple of instances, historically good defenses. But in the last couple of years, have not lived up to those lofty expectations. They were close in 23 with Mike McDonald, and then got their sea legs under them in the second half of 2024 when Dean Pease came in to assist Zach Orr. I just look at the personnel on the team right now, especially in regards to pass rush or lack thereof. I mean, what are we getting here? I mean, Tavis Robinson does yeoman's work. You expect a double-digit sack from him on a regular basis. I think we've seen that David Ajabo is just not the answer. Mm-hmm. Justin Madubuike has been that guy and got paid because of it back in 2023. His career, could be in jeopardy right now. I just think personnel-wise, they're challenged.
Right, and that's why it's not as simple as, oh, let's get the right head coach with a defensive mind or even the eventual defensive coordinator hire itself. It goes way beyond that, and I think you're 100% right. The personnel decisions that are looming this offseason, and look, we'd say someone like Marlon Humphrey's as good as gone, but who do you replace him with? I mean, secondary as a whole, you've invested a lot into that in recent history, and you're still going to be looking at a situation where, yet again, it looks thin on paper. I mean, How does this keep happening? So, didn't even mention pass rush. You did there. I think that's priority number one. So, the hire is important, make no mistake, but the issues, you're right, they run a lot deeper than just what one man can or can't do.
And Chuck Smith, he was supposed to be the pass rush whisperer. And look, 23, they led the league in sacks. Last year, 24, they were second, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. They bottomed out this year, let's be honest. But where are these signature moves that we were supposed to see from all of the pass rush candidates that Chuck Smith promised us? Who, by the way, was a hell of a pass rusher in his own right when he was a player.
And that's something I'd be looking at Mike Green more for, because, I mean, what's Kyle Van Noy changing at this point in his career? You know, you're not teaching him any new tricks, nor does he probably need to learn new tricks. I mean, he's got everything he needs at his disposal. It's just a matter of, can he physically do it and hold up? You know, that's the bigger question for him with age. So that's something that I think, looking back on Mike Green's season, I would look a little bit more beyond the stats, obviously, because there wasn't a ton of stats to begin with. And see, was there actually growth there, right? Did Chuck Smith actually get the most out of him or raise his game, help him develop as a young pass rusher? Because on the surface, it certainly didn't seem to be the case.
410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Tillman Island. It's Jay. Jay, thanks for holding your own with Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. What's up?
Hey, guys. I got the perfect coach for the Ravens. A lot of people might disagree, but John Gruden, alias known as Chucky, he's a hell of a coach. I mean, he would put them where they need to be as far as being on the defense and everything. What do you think?
And you base that on what?
I based it on his past experiences when he was with the Raiders. I mean, look what he did when he was there. I mean, he turned that team around.
Well, that was – we're talking about his first tenure in Oakland, right? 25 years ago?
Yes, sir.
And then won – hey, thanks for the call, Jay. And then won a Super Bowl basically with the team that Tony Dungy had helped assemble in Tampa, but post-Tampa Bay. And we know that John Gruden lost his job in Oakland, and he and Mike Mayock didn't exactly do a great job cultivating talent there when they were calling the shots. But, I mean, this John Gruden love, and I'm not saying he's not a great football coach or brilliant mind or anything of the such or the sort, but, I mean, those days they're 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. The John Gruden heyday as a head coach here.
Right, and the reunion with Oakland, eventually Vegas, was not as...
It was a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, they went 10-7 the year he got fired. So it was him and Bisaccia took over. So how much you give credit to Rich for that compared to John. But the 3 years prior to that, 8-8, 7-9, 4-12, nothing there. Well, I don't lean on those years at all as anything attractive. And... has his name been brought up in connection to any job? Not just head coaching, to get back in the NFL in any capacity. I don't think any teams are sniffing him. And there's a reason for that.
Their first pick, correct me if I'm wrong, before we get a break and we got buy or sell, then back to your phone calls, was Clelin Ferrell, him and Mayock, in the top five out of Clemson. And everyone was like, whoa, this guy might be a second-round draft pick at best. Mm-hmm. And he's bounced around the league since the Raiders took him. But you probably knew right out of the gate that was an ominous sign for the Mayock-Gruden duo, bringing them back to relevance. And let's be honest, the Raiders have not been the Raiders that I grew up with. And many, many may have won a Super Bowl since 1983. Last year, the Orioles won a World Series, as a matter of fact, 1983.
Yeah, I mean, I think John Gruden's a guy that, I mean, on the surface, it's fun, you know, sounds the part for sure. He talks the talk, but I don't know at this point if he's really got the juice to back it up.
We'll come back. That's Count Some Money. Hopefully we got some financial juice coming your way. And we'll talk about sports subjects of this day as well. We'll talk Ravens head coaching search with Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun and Steve Bisciotti meeting with the media for the first time in a couple of years, along with Eric DaCosta. Back to your phone calls. NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. We'll look at our picks for over the weekend, and we'll do tonight's game as well, which you can hear on 105.7 The Fan. Steelers taking on the Houston Texans. Houston laying 3 in Pittsburgh. And then Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com. Buzz Williams, year one, not going all that great. They're 0-5 in the league, having a hard time putting the ball in the basket. And tomorrow night at USC does not look like an ideal situation.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Neither.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Brought to you by Window Nation. Right now, get 50% off all window styles from Window Nation. Plus, get 0% interest for 5 years. Don't miss out. This offer ends soon, so schedule your quote right now at windownation.com.
Here on this Monday, time to count some dough and get into the sports subjects of the day. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Alex Gamponi. Other side of the glass, Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun, joining us bottom of the hour. Talk about what's going on at One Winning Drive. Tomorrow, Steve Bisciotti, Eric DaCosta, meet with the media. People coming in, interviewing for the jobs. Hand over fist. And still some other names to be part of the equation as the Ravens will ultimately replace John Harbaugh. First time in 18 years, as we're all well aware of, Ravens are looking for a new head coach. But Nolan, before we get into that, and less than a month away from pitchers and catchers, the NFL playoffs very much alive. Yeah, Maryland's sucking right now in college basketball and everything else going on in the world of sports. Let's count that dough.
Monday money here. It's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Start with the NASDAQ. It's up 74. S&P 500 up 3. Dow Jones down 102. Under Armour down 2 cents. DraftKings up 23 cents. There's a little mixed bag for you on a Monday. As far as the sports topics, starting the NFL. Under the radar improved player this season, Saints pass rusher Chase Young. So much hype when he came out of the draft as the second overall pick in 2020, won defensive rookie of the year, but from there, it never really blossomed into the full package with Washington. 7.5 sacks as a rookie, that was his high watermark. He had another 7.5 sack season when he split time between the Commanders and Niners in 2023. But this year with the Saints, 10 sacks, and only played in 12 games. So you wonder what he could have reached had he been healthy or available for the full year. 3 fumble recoveries on top of it, so it was a well-rounded season for him. All of a sudden, the 3-year deal that New Orleans gave him, looking pretty smart, but buy or sell, this won't be an outlier season for Young. He will remain a double-digit sack producer the next few years.
Yeah, I'll soft buy. Maybe not for the next 5 years, but I think he's reestablished himself as the guy that you talked about coming out of Ohio State way back when. I believe there was a knee injury in there that kind of shortened his explosiveness and, you know, took away a lot of the things that made him one of the more highly regarded pass rushers coming out of college at that time. No, I think he's healthy. I think he's happy in the Big Easy. So, yeah, Chase Young, do you think?
Well, the Rams and Panthers really set the tone on Saturday for what's been an entertaining wild card round so far. L.A. narrowly escaping that one, 34-31, but it required a late go-ahead drive by Matthew Stafford from the top-ranked Rams offense because just a drive earlier, L.A.'s shaky special teams reared their ugly head yet again. The blocked punt set up an easy Panthers touchdown. Now, this is far from the first time this year that special teams has been a major blemish for the Rams. It cost them a shot at the one seed back when they lost to the Seahawks in Week 16. Once considered a powerhouse with no flaws, we're talking Rams here, well, now looking much more uncertain, or at the very least, not so complete. Buy or sell, if the Rams lose to the Bears, it will be because of another special teams gaffe.
I'll buy that. I mean, you can only overcome so much, and they've already fired the special teams coach. He got fired after that Seahawks game, if I'm not mistaken. So Sean McVay understands this could be a fatal flaw for them as they're trying to get back to the Super Bowl. But if they lose to Chicago, it will be because of special teams. Hey, look, it doomed Green Bay on Saturday night at Soldier Field. Mm-hmm. Inability to convert and have like a couple of field goals missed and extra points and all that good stuff.
And some baseball news here. The Brewers still shopping Freddy Peralta this winter, trying to find a suitable trade partner, though. That's been a little easier said than done. More details coming out about what their asking price is in return. This is always interesting to get a little more context. They want a replacement starter in return that could instantly slot right into their rotation. So not a prospect, although if it was the right one, maybe they'd consider it. They want someone that's ready to pitch now. 29 years old, Peralta set to enter the final year of his current contract. And at that price tag of only $8 million makes him even more attractive. We've both been on board with the Orioles being in on him and acquiring him. But now with this reported asking price, buy or sell, Bob, the Orioles should be willing to give up a package that includes a controllable arm like, say, Dean Kramer to just get 1 year of Peralta.
I'm going to sell that because I'm thinking now from a Brewers perspective. Is Kramer really replacing Peralta? Peralta's probably a notch above old man.
Oh, well, definitely. Yeah. It would be Kramer plus others. It wouldn't be one for one.
And Kramer just got a pretty significant pay hike over $5.5 million, almost six in arbitration. If you're Elias, though, because Rodgers is a free agent, right? Do you want to go, you have two of your projected starting rotation in the walk year of their deal. Do you want to dance that dance here? I don't know if Elias wants to give up controllables for a guy that could walk a la Corbin Burns. I'm not saying he's as good as Corbin Burns at his best, but he's a pretty stout performer,
right?
No doubt about it. I'm still all in on a let's sign one of these free agent pitcher guys, Nolan, but I would not say no to Freddy Peralta. I don't know if the Brewers would view Kramer insert prospects here, because they're probably still wondering when D.L. Hall's going to throw another pitch for them.
That's true. Yeah, do they even want to do business with the Orioles?
You hosed us in the first place, even though Joey Ortiz was the
starter. Yeah, you got Ortiz. What do you have to complain about?
That's right.
One more topic here, also baseball-related. 18 players, we talked about this late last week, 18 players across the league have filed arbitration salary figures as they try to get that sorted out here in the near future. Among them, the biggest of them, back-to-back Cy Young winner Tarek Skubal. He was seeking $32 million for his 2026 salary after another stellar year. What did Detroit counter with? How about $19 million, creating a gap of $13 million that is the largest in salary arbitration history. Now, what Skubal is asking for here at 32, that would be record-setting in its own right. It would surpass what Juan Soto got a few years back at $31 million. But again, he's got more than enough reason to back it up and a reason to ask for that money. So buy or sell, Bob. The Tigers still won't trade Tarek Skubal, but the bridge for him to return in free agency has completely burned.
I'll soft buy that, too. It hasn't completely burned, but they're breaking out the fire trucks, shall we say. I still look at Detroit, though. They had the best record in baseball at the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. Definitely the best record in the American League. They were up like 15 games at one point. And really struggled down the stretch, because I could see them still viewing themselves. If Skubal can get you to the playoffs, get you the World Series, they haven't won a World Series since 84, even though I think they've been to one or two since then, whatever it is. But if he can do that and then walks out the door to greener pastures, and I believe he's from California, so he can already start connecting dots there. Dodgers, Padres, Giants will spend on pitching, blah, blah, blah. If he can get them a World Championship for the first time in over 40 years, I think that's a trade-off, no pun intended, that Detroit would take right now.
I think I can see some similarities in this situation and what happened with fellow Boris client Corbin Burns a couple of years ago. Remember, he was a little ticked off by arbitration back and forth with the Brewers.
No doubt.
And ultimately, they traded him. But had he stayed, Well, we know what we know about the Arizona thing, but would he have given the Brewers the time of day had he played out his tenure there and entered free agency as a Brewer? I don't know. I think he was a little miffed by that, and that burned the bridge for him. Again, you're thinking Boris Kleiner. You know, he's always shooting for the moon with some of these arbitration figures. So I think that's, in my opinion, I think he's as good as gone. And depending on how bad, they shouldn't be bad to start the year, but let's say it's an Orioles-like situation or a Braves situation where they're unexpectedly bad.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, he's now the biggest piece at the trade deadline.
Maybe the most attractive trade piece we've seen from a pitcher in a long, long time. And with Burns, real quick, before we get a break, and then we got Brian Wacker joining us, talk Ravens from the Baltimore Sun. Didn't the GM in Milwaukee blame Burns for them not making the playoffs that one year? And which really kind of bent him out of shape a little bit there, because he was, because Woodruff got hurt. Maybe, I think he missed a start or something, and the GM blamed Burns for them not even making the playoffs. Yeah. And I don't think he ever recovered from that insult.
Without knowing the quote, it was probably something like, we expected more, or if you're going to be the ace of the staff, that type of thing, you got to show up in the bigger moments, that type of thing.
Now we need Burns, because I'm a fan of Corbin Burns. He was only here for a year, and boy, did he live up to the hype. And then so on his last game, he pitched brilliantly in the playoffs. Now he's coming back from Tommy John, so hopefully he'll just get back to being a semblance of what he used to be.
Yeah, and that happened early enough in the year that he should be, at least for the back half of 26, could he be ready to go?
Strider came back quick for Atlanta. I mean, wasn't what he was prior to an injury, but it is what it is. Less than a month away for pitchers and catchers. It's crazy, but we're getting there, everybody. We'll come back. Talk Ravens head coaching search. Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun. Back to your phone calls. NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. We got our picks for this past weekend, and we'll do tonight's game as well. Steelers taking on the Houston Texans in Pittsburgh. You can hear it on The Fan and Jeff Ehrman inside MDSports.com. Bad news so far for the Maryland men's basketball team, winless in the Big Ten. Hey, Maryland women lost as well. But Oloxi got some portal good news today for the football team, so we'll talk about it.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 18 years, John Harbaugh, he's going to have plenty of opportunities. Joining us now to talk about that and more, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Alex Gamponi on the other side of the glass. He's with the Baltimore Sun. Welcome back to the show, Brian Wacker. Brian, first of all, good afternoon. How are you feeling?
I am well rested since, you know, instead of a Ravens-Texans playoff game tonight, we get Steelers-Texans instead.
Now, for the Ravens, as we're all aware of and have been talking about for the last 6 days, John Harbaugh is now the ex-coach of the team for the first time since, what, 2008? Looking for a new one. And, you know, based on the interviews and the candidates that we've seen so far, Brian, can you put your finger on exactly what Bisciotti and Eric DaCosta are looking for here and a new head coach? Because to say this is a pretty significant decision would be an understatement right now.
Well, sure. Yeah. And to answer your question, I think it's very much up in the air what they're looking for, because I think we're up to now 13 candidates by my count. I'm sure there's more that we don't know about yet or that are being lined up. So and they run the gamut, you know, Jesse Minter, L.A. Chargers defensive coordinator, among the latest, Mike McDaniel, former Dolphins coach. You know, guys like Robert Sala, Brian Flores. So it really is kind of all over the map here. And this is certainly, you guys would be familiar with this, but this is seems far more exhaustive than the last time Steve Bisciotti was looking for a head coach. And obviously much different circumstances, different variables and so forth. So perhaps not a surprise. But it doesn't seem like there's an imminent hire here, at least, you know, in the next day or so, just based on all the interviews. Obviously, some of these guys can't be interviewed yet in person, you know, per the rules if they're still in the playoffs. So there's a lot that sort of has to kind of play out here before they can reach a decision.
Now, Brian, as Steve Bisciotti will meet with the media for the first time since 2022, unless you were invited to that thing at the owners' meetings a couple years ago. How do you see the tone of this one unfolding? And, you know, Eric DaCosta, is he just going to be along for the ride? Is there still plenty to ask him about as this team underachieved, shall we say, in 25?
Yeah, look, there are plenty of questions to ask Eric DaCosta. He hasn't talked since before the season, so, you know, a lot to ask him, certainly, in terms of this roster construction, in terms of course, Lamar Jackson's contract negotiations, although I don't expect us, as has often been the case in the past, I don't expect any real revelatory insight there. But yes, I do think the majority of the questions that we will be asking will likely be directed towards Steve Bisciotti. And, you know, you'd certainly like to have those two guys sort of speak separately for a whole bunch of reasons, including each of them addressing some different things. But, you know, there will be a lot of questions, I think, certainly addressed to Steve, as you mentioned, the first head coaching change in 18 years. And by all accounts, happening very quickly and very swiftly here over, you know, about a week ago. So
now, as far as DaCosta is concerned, what do you think tomorrow, obviously, when he's asked about it, the biggest blemish that he's going to have to answer for? I mean, would it be the O-line? Would it be maybe the oversight with the pass rush, or even something like the Cooper Rush signing, considering how important backup quarterback was for the Ravens this year?
Yes is the answer. yes, all of those things certainly are major sticking points, and just the roster construction overall. And certainly, again, as I said, Lamar Jackson and his contract situation, because, you know, if we recall a few years ago, this was a very long, at times contentious negotiation. You know, we asked Lamar Jackson, you know, about it at the end of the season, and he was kind of noncommittal in terms of answering the question, just, you know, having been, quote, stunned from that playoff loss to the Steelers. So I think there's a lot to answer for here. Certainly you can look at the trade, you know, some of the trades that Eric Goff has made as well, some of the draft picks, what they'll do going forward, all of it, what his role was, you know, in making the change with John Harbaugh, what his input was in those conversations and what his sort of expectations were. And, you know, things like, did John Harbaugh, you know, was there some disagreement on what changes needed to be made to move forward? I mean, certainly I don't think they were going to run it back with the same, you know, entire staff that they had. But, you know, what exactly did that look like? Did those conversations, what came out of those? And then roster construction and some of the players. So there's certainly a lot to look at there, both in terms of moves made and moves they will make going forward. You know, what's the status of a guy like, say, Marlon Humphrey going forward? We saw him struggle mightily down the stretch of the season, number of missed tackles, kind of got picked on at times a bit, has a big cap number. You know, what does his future look like here in Baltimore, if any? So a lot of questions to be asked, I think, at this point, given the way the recent season played out and given what the expectations were going into that season.
Another player that I'm kind of interested to see what they do with one of their 16 free agents is Jordan Stout. Because on the surface, that might seem like, you know, an easier negotiation, right? Because special teams guys don't command as much money. But for him to be an all-pro this year, to have the incredible improvements that he did, do you think the Ravens are so willing to just hand over top-of-the-market punter money for him? Or are they looking to for that to be a position where they cut costs a little bit?
Yeah. Well, to your point, top of the market punter money is about $4 million. So, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at for a team that is perennially up against the cap that needs to shave some room. Of course, depending what they do with Lamar Jackson, he's got that massive $74 million cap hit beginning the new league year on March 11th, I believe it is. So there's a lot of arithmetic that needs to be done for this team. And certainly, you know, I'm sure, to your point, Jordan Stout, you know, all-pro punter, had a very good year for them. Probably, you know, one can make the argument, maybe their most consistent player all year, certainly one of them. And a number of times flipped the field for them, you know, good directional kicking. So all of that, you know, do they re-sign him? I mean, they do like to keep their homegrown talent in the building when they can. I think they just have to figure out the numbers and, you know, where they can meet there. You would certainly assume that Jordan Stout's going to want close to top of the market money. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the Ravens can get close enough to there. Because the other thing to keep in mind, certainly with that, is the whole field goal operation. So he's certainly an integral part of that as the holder. You know, we saw Nick Moore signed for 4 more years, bringing him back. So you would think the likelihood, obviously they drafted Tyler Loop last year. Perhaps they'll bring in some competition for him this offseason. You know, you'd have to think you'd want to keep the battery or at least most of it intact.
Yeah, keeping the band together, man. Like the old Wolfpack from way back when. He's Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun. Brian, always appreciate the time. Have fun with Harbs. Boy, I got to get that out of the old vocabulary. Yeah. Have fun with DaCosta and Steve Bisciotti tomorrow. It should be interesting for sure.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Brian Wacker, everybody. Yeah, old Jordan Stout, first team all pro. Got a little leverage working in his favor.
Not even Sam Cook was first team all pro. He made one second team in his career.
How about that? So good job there, Eric DaCosta. As we talk about the draft, which is still months away, we'll come back, reset the program for you. NFL lunch, top of the hour. You want to join us for that? You can at 410-583-1057. Look at our picks for this past weekend. Do tonight's game as well as the Steelers getting 3 at home against Houston. And then Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com. Struggles for Buzz Williams and his Maryland Terrapins. They're real. That 0-5 record, yeah, that's real too. Get out to the phones. Ravens, well, they're always relevant. Unfortunately, not part of the postseason cycle because they lost that game last week at the Steelers. Now they're looking for a new head coach. And as we just talked about with Brian Wacker, doesn't appear to be leaning in any particular direction in regards to who a favorite could be at this stage, even though you have said on the record, Nolan, Clint Kubiak is your numero uno candidate.
And that would, yeah, so that's personal. If we're trying to identify who a favorite would be, I guess you would just have to go off of the names that were instantly linked to the Ravens even before they even sent invites out or requests out. And Kubiak was one of those names, and so was Minter. And I think, again, we talked about Minter having that Ravens connection. Beyond that, I don't know what other strengths are there that he's bringing to the job. But I think the fact that his name was thrown around almost instantly, and not just by fans and smaller media, but by even,
national pundits.
Yeah, or even, you know, like the Schefters of the world, like the people that are talking to organizations behind the scenes. So I don't know if there is a real favorite, like Brian would say, but it seems like Minter has been talked about more than anyone else, at least so far.
Yeah, no stone unturned, at least we're getting that vibe for sure. And Minter, because the Chargers lost last night, starting tomorrow, he can go through the whole interview process. Now, if the Ravens want to interview Robert Saleh, for instance, they have to wait till Wednesday to do that virtually.
Yeah, a lot of their interviews have been virtual, it seems. At least the ones with the Broncos guys last week, the first ones to be done seem to be virtual. And then obviously if a team's still alive, that's a reason there. But yeah, we'll see how it unfolds. I mean, it's been incredibly expansive so far. Maybe the one that I've been the most turned off by, that's probably a better question, beyond who do you want. Which person have they interviewed or are they set to interview that you're just the most out on?
Like McDaniel. Hello.
Well, I would say Matt Nagy.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, did he rehabilitate himself when he went back to Kansas City after the Bears debacle? No,
Andy Reid's running the show there, so you can't even say that, oh, look at what he did. And the Chiefs' offense has kind of been trending down the last couple of years.
No doubt. And Steve Spagnuolo, who also has a Ravens history, don't ever hear him linked. Maybe he's kind of settled into being the coordinator guy.
Yeah, I think he might just know who he is.
Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Owings Mills. It's Harry. Harry, you're on the fan with Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. How are you, Bob? How are you, Nolan?
All right, Harry.
What's up? If I could start with a quick joke, what did the Oregon Ducks head coach say to his team at halftime?
No idea.
We had a great season.
Oh, Dan Lanning.
I don't know what else you say because Indiana was so dominant.
I thought you were going to go, if it walks like a duck or talks like a duck, it's a duck getting blown out of the water.
Right, absolutely. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the head coaching search. And I think it's a very thin line. When you have a coach who takes you to the playoffs basically almost every year or regularly, and you have to make a decision on whether or not they've actually taken us as far as they can and it's time to make a change. And the Ravens are doing the right thing by taking their time and taking a look at this, because what we don't want is a Dusty Baker syndrome type of thing. And let me explain what I mean. You may remember years ago when Marge Schott was the owner, Dusty Baker was the manager of the Reds. He took them. They were a perennial playoff team, but he couldn't get them out of the first round. So that she had to make a decision on, do I make a change or do I just wait for Dusty to fix this? And I think she should have stayed with Dusty, but then once she let Dusty go, that team fell apart. And I don't.
There were a bunch of teams that reacted too quickly with Dusty Baker. By the way, Marge Schott was not the owner when Dusty was the.
She wasn't the owner.
She passed away in 2004.
Okay. Yeah, but you're right, because he was also with the Cubs. He took them to the playoffs.
Nationals, right?
And the Giants,
DC,
and DC, and then he eventually won with the Houston Astros. And the funny thing was that a lot of people probably were against him, but not him, so to speak, but more against the Astros because of the cheating scandal. But I was really glad that he eventually did get his championship.
No doubt.
Ultimately, with the Houston Astros. So, gentlemen, I thank you for your time, and you all have a great day.
All right, Harry, thank you very much. And Dusty Baker, by the way, was also a hell of a player during his days, mainly with the Dodgers. Got a World Series championship with them back in 1981. But I guess what Harry's saying here, you never know what you're going to get. The uncertainty, I mean, the great unknown, grass isn't always greener. I mean, and to his point about the Reds, I mean, I think they made the playoffs barely this year with Francona, but they never recovered from getting rid of Dusty Baker because he could only get them to a certain level in the postseason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't see a parallel with John in that way. I mean, John had more than enough time.
Oh, sure.
And he did get the job done before. So, I don't see much of a comp there. But, yeah, the grass is always greener debate. Right, it's a fair one because, I mean, look, there's a lot of coaching hires made every year, and we always go through it at the end of the year and say, well, that one doesn't look like it's working out. This one, this guy's getting fired after just a year. But I don't even know if it's a trend between first-time head coaches or retreads. You know, you automatically assume that, oh, the retread, why would I want that? He was damaged goods. He failed elsewhere. What makes you think he's going to succeed here? But in the case of, you talk Dusty Baker again, you can't just dismiss a guy because he failed at his first stop. I'm looking at what played into that. Was he set up to fail from the start? You know, they don't buy the groceries. You know, they can only cook. Were there ample groceries on the kitchen table? Stuff like that. You know, cap situations. You know, all of that. I mean, what a meddling owner. There's so much to it. Or it could just be, didn't work out. They were too young. They were too new, too inexperienced. They had to get more seasoned and, sure, and stuff like that. So there's no hard and fast rule that says, no, absolutely no retread. Same thing with the first-time hires, because that I would say that's even more of a mystery. You know, you might like the way they come across in an interview, but when it comes time to command a room of, 53 football players, it could be completely different. And the message might be completely wrong, you know?
But to be clear, Matt Nagy is a hard no for you, right?
Yes.
So you're not going down that retread route. Like McDaniel, for instance, I wouldn't mind him. We were talking about it last week. Hire Flores as your head coach. Get McDaniel in here to be the OC. And we talked about this too, Nolan. McDaniel, ironically enough, replaced Brian Flores when he was fired in Miami. So how about them coming to Baltimore and trying to reestablish that? I don't know if that's a realistic scenario, because Mike McDaniel sounds like a guy that still wants to be a head coach. when it's all said and done. And he's interviewing with three or four different teams.
And ultimately, a lot of that decision will come back to whoever the head coach is. Like, they have jurisdiction over their own staff. So I understand the fan perspective that everyone wants to put together these like fantasy coaching lineups where, oh, we got the best D coordinator available, the best OC available. But if they don't jive with whoever the head coach is, it's a non-starter.
So as Nolan just asked, it's not a question of who you want to be the head coach, because we've gone down that road before and we'll continue to do so. Who don't you want as the Ravens head coach, at least based on the players, people that they've been linked to, if not have already interviewed in the process. So we'll get into that with NFL Lunch. We'll look back at our picks for this weekend, do tonight's game as well, Pittsburgh and Houston, and then we'll talk to Maryland Sports. Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com. Basketball teams both lose over the weekend. The Maryland women, hey, they're in the top 10, and they're banged up, too. Brenda Fries is playing with a team that's not at 100% health. Same with Buzz, but man, throwing up a lot of bricks lately from beyond the arc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.